Hello.
Hello. Welcome Hello. To
the Not God Pod.
Yes, season two.
Episode one.
Yes. And we have a guest. This is Lotta. Lotta, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
Yeah, introduce yourself. Who is Lotta, other than my childhood friend who this makes things quite fun for us?
I'm currently a secondary school English teacher in a state school. I also teach sociology. I'm also a sex educator, so I have taught RSE relationships and sex education in schools. I've run LGBT youth clubs. I'm basically very involved in education. It's my whole thing.
Yeah. And we kind of, well, I think I kind of went, oh, Lotta would be an interesting person to come and talk on our podcast. And then we sort of just now were like, so what are we actually talking about? Because this is technically a theatre podcast. But I do feel like it's maybe just that we use theatre as a catalyst for us to rant about things that we are displeased about.
It's also like theatre is about things, right?
Well, yes, exactly.
And so then we need also, to talk about things.
Yeah, we talk about things. And also Zoe is also now an educator, but in a different realm.
Yeah, and also you're talking about sex education, which is obviously of importance to like kind of queer community, queer representation, and that's also a link with our
work.
Own practice and things we consider to be of importance. So
yeah,
we have plenty to chat about.
It would have been good, I just now realized, if we had planned some questions.
Okay, it's fine, we're gonna improvise. we're actors, we can improvise. So tell us a bit more about what it means to you to be a sex educator.
Oh, cool. I get asked this very often, but I do think about it a lot. For me, it means a lot of things, mainly empowering young people to have their, like, live life to their fullest sort of potential. And a lot of people will focus on grades and outcomes, which are all important. I'm not going to sit here and say they're not, especially in the current landscape. But I think even we talk about mental health a little bit more now, and we're saying all of these things, but a really big part of young people's experience is like this, like sex and relationships. Whether or not they're having sex is one thing, but just that it's constantly around them, they're being bombarded, it's on TikTok, it's on Instagram, all of these things just it impacts each other. And I think the one thing we owe our young people is knowledge, and it's knowledge to make informed decisions. And so for me, it means, yeah, equipping young people to be able to make informed decisions for themselves, whatever that means for them.
I'm like during my period and now I'm like emotional about it.
Just dropping, yes,
young people. But also I think I've just found like my first very obvious link, but I mean, you know, being a secondary school educator, a lot of kids come directly out of secondary school into university or drama school or whatever else, but we're going to talk about drama school because that's what I know. And it just is one of those things where it feels very important to me as well, because I wonder, had more people, had we and our generation had better sex ed, what would have changed? What would have changed within the landscape of the like culture, within our drama school, within our class, and how much sort of cult like god complex behavior from certain practitioners we would have tolerated, or how maybe we would have dealt with, you know. It feels very like this issue feels very much reflected in at least my experience of further education. Yes, because so much of what we talk about is the lack of representation and the lack of
and the like erasure of certain narratives, be that within theatre or media or the arts in general, or within like educational settings, that there are things that you just don't see. So I think the question is, how do you make those like I guess like unheard narratives, like queer narratives and so on, heard within a like secondary education environment, especially when obviously you're not in charge of the curriculum, right?
Yeah, I am trying to do more and more, and eventually hopefully I will be in charge of a curriculum, but at the moment it is little and often. Mm-hmm. In terms of, it is very damaging, I think, to especially things like sex ed. It's very damaging to reduce it to sort of like straight and gay sex ed, mainly, well, for a variety of reasons. One, it's very othering, there's no need for it. It makes it seem like this is the normal sex and this is the sex that, like, you know, this is deviant behavior that a small percentage of people do, when actually a lot of the acts overlap, and actually the sexual health advice is the same. Things like consent, if you're teaching about consent, making sure you have a wide variety of different types of, like, in the scenarios, even just different genders and names, and making sure that it's not just the assumed norm. And that can raise eyebrows and ask questions. Like, even today I did a session on consent, and the last scenario was about a gay couple, and that raised some eyebrows, and the kids, though, you know, there was a bit of silliness, but we were able to have a bit more of a conversation about it. And they do, you know, they did ask me things like, how do gay people have sex? And it is upsetting to me that they get to the age they're at, because I have a year 11 form group, so they're all reaching the age of consent this year. It worries me and it upsets me that there are children that don't know some of these things, or if they do know, because I'm thinking, what about the gay kids in that room? There's 32 of them in there. Chances are that I would be very shocked if all of them were straight, just statistically speaking. So what do those kids know? And where have they gone for that information if they've never had this explicitly discussed in school? And especially with COVID as well, it's been really difficult to kind of have this extracurricular, not core maths, English, science, getting the grades education to them. And it's just linking it back to, yeah, the little and often having those conversations and trying to be a role model. So I understand that a lot of educators don't feel comfortable discussing their sexuality, or they don't feel it's relevant. But for me, I remember being that age and wishing, like, I know now how many queer educators worked at the secondary school I went to, but it means almost nothing to me now. It would have meant everything to me when I was 15 to know that. And I completely understand it's a very homophobic environment. There could have been accusations leveled against them. Like, there are some worries that I do have. But for me, it means prioritizing LGBT children, because it's that sort of thing. If you prioritize the most marginalized, everyone else gets included, because you've almost like planned for them by default anyway. I don't know if any of that makes sense, but it's just, yeah, little and often, try not to other it. Obviously, when things like LGBT History Month, then you talk about the relevant history and laws and things like that. But it's, yeah, especially for sex ed, there's not really a need to have it separate or its own thing. Like, the risks for anal sex exist regardless, for example, or if you wanted to talk about anything else, like the risk of pregnancy or having oral sex with a condom, like all of these things. It doesn't really matter what your like gender or sexuality is. Those are just facts that you need to know.
Maybe I'm picking up on an entirely wrong thing, because everything that you said is great, but
we agree with all of the above.
Yes. But also, it's quite what you said about prioritizing the marginalized, and then everybody else gets like included anyway, is a really interesting concept, and a really, I think, something that we kind of struggle with how to show and or communicate as a company as well, because so the Not God Complex is a company and a collective entirely focused on any kind of marginalized creatives, freelancers, theater people, anyone creative really, and it's one of those things that feels very difficult to communicate without sounding exclusive, exclusionary. Exclusionary, that's the word I was looking for, yeah. And it's just one of those things that maybe it really is just about acknowledging and saying and just like saying the words.
As somebody who teaches, I know that if I've gone into a room and I've planned my lesson with considerations for, like, specifically say, oh, the rabbit's attacking me. If, like, say I go in and I'm like, okay, I know how to adapt this for, like, dyslexic students, or if I had a student who couldn't do physically what I had planned, I'm like, I know that if I've made all of those considerations for the people who are, like, actively the most marginalized from an access perspective in that space, then everybody's going to be fine because it's adaptable and I've considered that, you know.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing, obviously, for everything, in order to ensure like participation and inclusion, you've got a plan for the most like vulnerable, the most marginalized, but then also it's important for those groups to have their own spaces. So I run Pride Club for the kids at my school, and you don't have to be LGBTQ plus to come, but the, you know, a lot of the kids are, and they are, yeah, they appreciate having that space. We don't necessarily talk about LGBT related things all the time, but it is really nice then to have that, and to have myself and the other teacher very outright being like, we are lesbian educators, we run this space for you for this reason. I think it's quite powerful to have that.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think there are two kind of strands there.
There was like an LGBT society at Bruford. I don't know if you are aware of it, Zoe, because I like saw it and then there was one email in my first year and nothing came of it. And I really wish there was more of that.
Yeah. Like where I work right now, there is a like LGBT working group. So it has an external chair and then students can go and be like, we have like think this could be improved, or we'd like this for like, I don't know, whatever. But I think,
yeah, I mean, it makes so much sense to have, and it's such a shame that, I mean, I don't know, again, I can't speak for like all higher education
I think
universities or whatever, but
Sadie.
Chaotic funny.
This is gonna be so chaotic to edit, so sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was just like specific place and specific time.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, I think it's also the thing of like, it's important, like partly important to yet normalize stuff and not be like, today we're talking about like LGBT stuff in sex ed and the rest of the time we're not. And yeah, to just have these things as like part of the conversations constantly, like in line with everything else, but also simultaneously to recognize that because of the kind of discrepancy in, what am I saying? Yeah, like the discrepancy in how much these like narratives are heard, I guess it's also important to have like spaces that are exclusive.
Yeah, because maybe going back to prioritizing marginalized people and then everybody else is also included, which I know that having like a queer space isn't necessarily prioritizing marginalized people, that then includes everyone else. But even what you were saying, Lotta, like, not all of the kids that come to your LGBTQ plus society are part of, right? It's open for everybody. It's just a space where that is prioritized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's honestly been wonderful just to see like the confidence of some of the kids and just what having that space means to some of them. It definitely feels like, because sometimes you can get a bit like, oh, am I telling the kids too much? Like we talk a lot in teacher training about teacher persona and who, especially for like secondary school, primary school teaching, and who has what kind of teacher persona. And there are some people who are very much like, shut it down, you don't need to know anything about me, we are not friends. Whereas I'm much more open. I find it very difficult. There is very little facade between who I am as a person and who I am as a teacher. And that is not always good. That's something that we work on, my like head of department at school, because it can lead to me being taking things quite personally. But I think that there are also a lot of really good things about that in that case, in terms of I share a lot about myself that the kids might not get elsewhere in terms of education, not only about like LGBT things, but about Judaism as well. Or even just like stuff about like Croatia. I don't know, they get very interested. There is a lot of kids are very like, they are knowledge sponges, even if they don't like education formalized. They're like, oh, I hate English, madam, I hate this subject, I hate school. When they are interested, they are just sponges for knowledge, and they all do want to learn something. And it's good to be able to sort of like provide that and be a sounding board. I do really love it.
Yeah. Can I also just add in, maybe it's not relevant, but it feels kind of relevant. You just said, you just reminded me, and I know this, that in your school, teachers are called sir and madam, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know about you, Zoe. That was never a case for me. It was always sir and miss. And it's one of those things that feels quite funny.
But also very gender normative.
Well, yes, yeah, very gender
normative. Yeah, that is true.
Absolutely. But kind of interesting also in this idea of like, what did you call it, like unseen learning, that's not what you said, but
hidden curriculum.
Hidden curriculum. Yeah,
did I talk about that on here yet, or just before this?
Do you want to talk about hidden curriculum, Zoe?
okay. Hidden curriculum is basically just what you are not formally taught, but that things that you are not formally taught, but that are messages you are sent either through like the culture of educational institution, or what is consciously not taught at an educational institution, like what the rules are, what is permitted, what is not really spoken about. All of that is the hidden curriculum.
Yeah, so calling you Lotta madam feels like part of that, which is interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the main part of that one was, it's been around at this school I'm at since like two head teachers ago, and the reason for it is that Miss and Sir are not equivalent in terms of like formal address. And so it's this idea that, you know, like Miss and Mr. are, Miss and Master are, so if you're going to use Sir, why are you not using like madam or ma'am or anything? So it's meant to be the idea of, yeah, the kind of hidden curriculum of like teaching, treating female teachers with the same amount of respect as your male teachers, on the same footing. That's a general idea of that. Though I think it is also there's a lot that we do in schools in the UK that we take for granted here that is actually not a norm somewhere else and is actually considered very odd. So in terms of just like, yeah, hidden curriculum things, like even though I disagree with some things, it's still been really normalized to me. And I went to Croatia in October and I was explaining to someone about like the uniform and the behavior dress code and like how they address us. And they laughed at me and they were like, do you work in a prison? And it's like, you know, like obviously I would say not, and there is like pedagogical and like research reasons for certain like behavior strategies and things like that, but it's really interesting the things we take for granted, especially around uniform, because most schools now are trying to be more like research-based, so doing pedagogy based on what works and like actually looking at cognitive science and how kids learn, and that's all really great. But then we will still have school leaders across all schools and online say things like, oh, uniform shows us that, you know, if a student has bad uniform, it means that they don't care, or they don't care about their education, or it means that you have low standards if your uniform isn't correct in your room. And that, as an individual, bothers me, because I don't I'm like, where's the research? I'm like, cite your sources. And every time, and it annoys me because I was like, fine, okay, I'll be open about it. I'll research it. I Googled it. I've looked at, I have institutional access. I was looking like, where can I find an article about the impact on uniform? Or like, because everyone makes massive claims like, oh, it reduces bullying. It does this, it does that. Look it up. And it's just like, oh, there's a research, uniforms like stop bullying. And then you read the research and it's like parents' perceptions of uniform, teachers' perceptions. I don't care. It might be my perception that the best way to teach my class is stand on a desk and shout at them, but that's not the way, because we know that's not right. So I'd be very interested. My apologies to my head teacher for listening to this. Please don't fire me. But yeah, I'm very interested in the claims around uniform and what that teaches to our kids, and just certain things like dress codes, and what that teaches to our kids, and I do worry about that, like about that quite a lot, especially in schools where my school's not really like this, but in schools they measure how short a girl's skirt is and they say it's not for sexist reasons, but it is rape culture.
Why else would you do
that.
It?
it's just. It's reasonable. Or just like, there are schools where boys can't have certain lengths of hair, and it's like, that's, you know, teaching you that have to be really normative, gendered ways of being. And there's all these arguments like, oh, this is going to help them for the future because you can't, I don't know, dye your hair like bubblegum pink in a professional environment. And I'm like, first of all, why not? Second of all, they're not in a professional environment. They're being educated. If now they can't do it now, when can they do it?
And third, which is why I'm so interested in having this conversation, if they're not doing that, if they're not being allowed to do that as teenagers, they're going to go and continue the professional world where that's not allowed. And why? Yeah. It should be moving. Exactly. It should be changing. And I think with the dress code thing as well, like, we have a very similar maybe thing that we can relate to in drama. Thankfully our school didn't necessarily do this, but lots of drama schools and lots of theater traditions expect you to be wearing all black, and it's a similar idea that you are like stripped off all identity essentially. And I hadn't thought about how much school uniforms actually do exactly the same thing.
Like, your self-expression is not welcome here.
Please
take it somewhere else.
and it comes from like, so this guy, I don't know, sorry if you would have come across this because you're not maybe in the same kind of sphere of teaching. There's a guy called Doug Lemov, who's done undoubtedly really interesting things in terms of he noticed like there are certain teachers who are succeeding, his kids are succeeding, and certain teachers who aren't. And it's like a handbook of what you can do in the classroom to like bring success up. And I don't necessarily agree with all of it or agree it's all right in all contexts, but it is the only sort of almost instruction manual for when you start teaching of like small wins and classroom management and all of these sorts of things. He's also written interesting stuff about reading, but I digress. And TLAC, Teach Like a Champion steps, is called Sweat the Small Stuff. And it's this idea that if you, and tell me if it sounds familiar to another sociological concept, it's this idea that if you sweat the small stuff, so small uniform infringements, presentation, all of these sorts of things, that then that will have a knock-on effect and they'll stop doing the bigger stuff and they'll take more pride in themselves and their school. And that's directly taken from the sociological concept of broken windows policing, right? Broken windows policing has been debunked as a racist theory and it got such backlash that in the next editions of Teach Like a Champion, so even the edition that I own, they took that out because it was such backlash. But the core idea remains the same. But yeah. And that is, and this man is, and this book is, and I'm not saying it's on him necessarily, but just these concepts, in the way that we are in education at the moment, they're very much in trend on fashion. There's a thing called slant, so it's like sit up, look at the, what is it, I don't know, look at them, track the reading, I don't know, it's literally how you want the kids sitting. And there's loads of schools across America and some in the UK now that are being like, I want to see everyone slanting, basically, where's your slant, and expecting all the kids to like sit up, hands on the table. It's a lot.
It's also definitely, it's like, what are you teaching ableist
them? Very ableist. Oh my god. Yeah, god, I've not
horrifying
heard that. Yeah, completely horrifying.
We definitely can't have my name attached to this episode though, guys, because like, this is me slating the education system. Maybe just my first name.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
It's all good. Anonymity.
Just water. Okay, good.
We're back.
Okay, cool.
We've been recording for 27 and a half minutes, so do we want to...
Yeah, I guess so. this feels like this can be such like a more in-depth discussion, which happens. I feel like with every single discussion we have, we're like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. And then by the end of it, we're like, yeah, and.
Yes. Let's make seven parts of this.
Yeah. I feel like it's very clear in everything that you're saying, Lotta, about how, you know, how all of these things that you are thinking about or trying to implement within a secondary school setting would then influence higher education, would then influence just people being decent human beings, maybe not having God complexes, maybe not, you know,
just tie it all
trying
together.
To tell some students that their impulse should be to kiss each other on stage. Grotowski. So yeah, any last thoughts? No,
just that teenagers are really cool and they can do a lot more than we give them credit for, and we should be nice to them.
This is
as
true.
Their brains develop.
Yeah, this is true. And maybe that also when people come directly out of secondary school and into higher education or drama school at like 18, that they're not necessarily adults yet, and that there are things that are being implemented in secondary school with things like hidden curriculum, which is a new thing that I've just learned, and I'm like, yes, that is such a cool concept.
I might have given you the wrong definition, to be honest, but that's my understanding of it.
Well, it's an interesting idea anyway. yeah, that should be maybe taken more into consideration. I was wondering about, but I guess we don't have much time now to talk about that, but about like personas, because that's a big thing I think that we experienced in our drama school. And I don't know if you have any differing thoughts about it now, Zoe, being on the other side of drama school life.
I think that definitely now that I have an understanding of, yeah, like pedagogy and ethics in relation to actor training, there is a culture in drama schools, at least, of that being vulnerable is something to be valued. And I think often when you get people like students who are 18, 19, they take that very seriously. And also because it's like, it's a big thing to get into drama school, right? And so everyone's like out to impress. And I think that there are certain teaching personas of the real like, oh, I'm gonna like strip you down and then build you back up, all that kind of rhetoric, and that really takes advantage of that culture, and that does harm to a lot of people, which I think is a discussion for another day.
Yeah, maybe we should write this down somewhere. Have we found a link between what we were talking about?
Lots of links.
Want to come back for an episode, Lotta, to talk more about whatever we've discovered?
Sure. I've literally just like gone off on one about
the current state of education. This is literally what this podcast is about. So
yeah, this is the way you're talking about the student vulnerabilities about going into university, especially if they've only been to a sixth form, because like I went to a college, sixth form in a school, because obviously I went to a sixth form college and that was a lot different. It was a lot more open, it was a lot more independent, but the kids that go to sixth form colleges are much more tightly controlled. Mm-mm. So they don't have that, so this is literally their biggest independence yet in terms of the leap is huge, and then people just really can take advantage of that really quite quickly. Though there is a lot of
that you see in drama school a lot, because again, you know, like emotions and people's like personals, everything.
Yeah.
It's so involved.
I think also there's so much of like not teaching children things because they're children, and especially with teenagers, like we perceive them as not able to handle the information or as not needing it, which is stupid because like So for example, in the case of sex ed, like teenagers are having sex, doesn't matter if we pretend they're not, like, you know.
And it is true that, like, the better and more, like, comprehensive and facts-based sex that is, the later they will start having sex. But for me, honestly, even if that was not the case, I would still be equally as important. It's just, I want to be able to equip kids. So if they go to, say, for example, drama school and they have, like, people pushing boundaries for the sake of art or whatever, that they can say, I'm not comfortable with this. You need to back off.
Mm-hmm. And that is a big issue that we have maybe alluded to at some point in an episode, but actually we should probably talk about.
We could do a whole thing. This is great. We're generating ideas like left.
Yeah, fantastic. Ideal. Yeah, because that is a huge issue in drama schools. Like, boundaries are not a thing that people know how to have.
But often. It's often this thing of, like, we don't teach children and teenagers how to be adults, and then once they're adults, you're like, well, you're an adult, even though you're like 18, so, like, you're not, you know, you're a baby. Yeah. But yeah, like, you're absolutely an adult, you should know how to do this, and the message you get yourself in are your own messes.
When, like, 6 months ago they had to ask if they had to put their hand up and ask if they can go to the toilet, and now they're meant to, like, run their life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay.
Thank you for listening. Thank you very much, Lotta, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This has been episode 1 of season 2 of the Not God Pod. We are hoping it's going to be the season of podcast guests. So if you would like to come on the podcast, please send us an email. The email address is thenotgodcomplex@outlook.com. You can also find us on Instagram at thenotgodcomplex, on Facebook at thenotgodcomplex, or on Twitter at Not God Complex. Find one of them, you found them all, it's all good. Yes, thank you very much for listening. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Also, subscribe if you are on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else that lets you subscribe. Leave us a review. You can also find us on our website, which is just thenotgodcomplex.com. That ends our chaotic endspiel for today, and speak to you next month.
And a lot of they are not going to find you anywhere, right?
Not unless you are interested in sex education in Croatian, which is recording is starting in March for that.
Klitteratura pod. What is it?
Klitteratura.
Yes.
Pod on Instagram.
I need to explain the pun. Literatura is literature in Croatian. Clit, quite self-explanatory. So klitteratura.
Great.
Yes, and I might be on that at some point, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
We'll link anything in the show notes and all of that.
Cool. Thank you for listening.
Yes. We've been trying to end this for like 10 minutes.
Sorry.
Speak to you next month.
Okay. Bye.
All right, let's bye.